This segment of the show is brought to you by O2Cruise.com, your online cruise superstore, and in part by USA 3000 Airlines, offering low-cost fares from St. Petersburg, Fort Myers, Orlando, and Fort Lauderdale. Mr. Evan Eggers, president of O2Cruise.com, is on the line. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Roy.
How are things with you?
Oh, things are well. We have unseasonably warm weather in New England, which is all I can ask from life right now.
Well, you know, actually, it was quite chilly here this morning. It was about 42 degrees, but the sun's out, and according to the atomic clock, it's 65 degrees in the shade, so things are warming up. But I had
You enjoy rubbing that into me, don't you?
Well, I had a little taste of it last week. As you know, we were up in Quebec City for their winter carnival, and what an amazing time. It was like a winter wonderland. It was just absolutely fabulous, and we'll be doing a special on that middle of March, and it should be a lot of fun. We should have some great photos as well.
Well, I'm embarrassed to say, that's the kind of event, you know, I live, 4 or 5 hours from there, and I've never been. I'm ashamed of myself, because everybody who goes has such a great time and such fun with it.
You owe it to yourself. It's really...
I do. I agree.
It's really lovely. I know, going from the cold to the cold, but it was nice, and as you guys know, you dress warm, everything's fine.
That's right.
You know, while I was there, we had just come back from... dog sledding, which was really interesting. Bob Fisher was driving at the time and happened to take me up the side of an embankment, and we hit a little branch from a low limb of a pine tree covered with snow. No damage, except my face was covered with snow. I was totally blind for a few moments, and the people in front said we couldn't see anything but just a white face, which is covered with snow. So, you know, it was good fun. But that evening, when we were sitting having a drink when we got back, someone had mentioned this tragedy with this ferry sinking. But at first they said, Roy, we must tell you this, that a cruise ship sunk. And I thought, oh, my God. And but, I mean, a tragedy is a tragedy, but I was pleased to hear it wasn't a cruise ship. And but anyway, I didn't have a bunch of information other than I guess it was crossing the Red Sea to Egypt's side. Was that basically it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It was a ferry crossing from Saudi Arabia to Egypt, largely Egyptian workers who, you know, just because that's where the work is, they go to Saudi Arabia to work. That's where the money is, so they go. And it's a ferry called the Salam 98, and as you accurately say, the mainstream media, as usual, gets their facts not quite straight, calling it a cruise ship when it's not. It was a ferry, a passenger and car ferry. And also the mainstream media for quite a while was showing pictures of the wrong ship. But the facts of the matter are there were heavy seas, this ferry was crossing, there was some kind of a fire on board that may or may not have been material to the sinking, actually. And because there was no communication with the shore, the rescue personnel on shore didn't find out anything had happened until, you know, hours after it actually did happen. And the initial hint they got that something was wrong on shore was when the ship just disappeared from radar.
And I guess so, the captain, even though he had had some warnings, elected to go forward, I guess, huh?
Yeah, that's right. There were things where, you know, this fire started, and he elected to keep going, thinking it would be better to go straight. And at this point, you can't second-guess the captain, because in heavy seas, turning a ship sideways in heavy seas can be a real bad idea.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's no telling what's going on with that. But, you know, to me, I read about this, and this is a roll-on, roll-off ferry called a Ro-Ro.
Right.
A huge bow door that comes down so that cars and trucks and cargo can be just driven right on and off the ferry. And because you have this huge door that comes up and down just, you know, usually feet above the water line in the rear of the ship, these things have a terrible history of, if there is a problem with that bow door, whether it's the seal or some other mechanical problem or operated incorrectly, that there's no margin for error, because water will rush in, flood that car deck, and the thing will go down like a rock.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not clear what happened here, but as soon as I heard it was a Ro-Ro, I thought to myself, I'm not going on any Ro-Ros myself.
What are the latest numbers?
Well, the latest numbers are there are about 1,400 people on board. Almost 400 have been rescued and accounted for, which leaves, you know, most likely the majority of people will have died on this catastrophe.
God almighty, yeah.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's terrible. Just getting on to another unusual story about the couple of Americans that were jettisoned from their Costa Med cruise in Malta.
Yeah, that's right. So these were just an American couple who was on board a Costa cruise ship, and among the ports of call were Libya. And it turns out that a lot of Middle Eastern nations, Islamic Middle Eastern nations, will not let anybody come ashore coming to their country who has an Israeli stamp in their passport. And these folks had visited Israel in the past. They had an Israeli stamp in their passport. And what ended up happening was that these people were basically shown the door in the port of call prior to when they would have arrived in Libya, in Malta, and just put ashore and said, bye-bye. So that was obviously not handled well by the cruise line. But in the end, Lynn Torrent from Costa was quoted as saying that the root of the problem is that Libya continually revises its travel policies, and I do find that believable. I mean, being in the travel industry, it's hard enough for us to keep track of
what
our own State Department is doing.
Right.
You know, let alone trying to figure out what's going on with the Department of State or whatever of countries like Libya. But Costa is trying to make it good. They're, you know, giving a full refund and reimbursing the people for the extra expenses they incurred to get themselves home from Malta. You know, their vacation was ruined, obviously, but you know, that's the way that story goes. So,
but it's amazing the things that can come up and that you don't anticipate when you're traveling.
No, and that one would have been a tough one to anticipate. And, you know, my advice to anybody who's traveling is just do research yourself. If you're traveling to out-of-the-way places, you know, like, I mean, the Caribbean, you don't really need to worry. You know, it's places, things like that. Western Europe, you don't really need to worry. But if you're going to unusual ports of call, you'd be well served by doing some research on your own, on the State Department's website, perhaps on the individual country's websites, to see what they say is required. Because it's very hard to keep track of it all, especially as changes happen rapidly.
Yeah, exactly, and very, very good advice, whether you're flying or no matter how you're going. But when on a cruise ship, you tend to think you're kind of protected, you're in that environment, so you're okay. But had they known, they would have been best not getting off the ship, obviously.
Well, I mean, in this case, they, you know, what's unusual is you'd expect them to perhaps not be able to go ashore in Libya.
Right.
So that's a little detail here that hasn't been clarified yet that I'm actually asking about some detail for.
Yeah, okay, great.
We'll report back on that in the future.
Now, Royal Caribbean's got a new monster ship project.
Yeah.
I can't believe the size of the ship.
Well, I tell you what. After clearly the cruise industry has obviously learned a lesson from the deluge of publicity Cunard got when the Queen Mary II came out as the world's largest ship. I mean, you couldn't turn on the TV without seeing that thing.
Right.
For the better part of 2 months, I'm like, is it the only thing that exists in the world, the Queen Mary II? Now, Royal Caribbean decided, okay, we're going to build Freedom of the Seas, which is coming out this summer, which when it's launched, it'll be the world's largest cruise ship.
Right.
Some people would say it's the world's largest cruise ship today because it's already in a wet dock.
Right.
But then nonetheless, so Royal Caribbean, I can't imagine this happens too often, that a cruise line that's going to have the world's largest cruise ship then one-ups itself by saying, then we're going to take the crown away from ourselves and have a new, even more enormous vessel, a 5,400-passenger vessel, if you can imagine.
Unbelievable.
It's unnamed. They call it Project Genesis is their internal name.
Right.
It'll be launched in 2009.
And 220,000 tons.
Yeah, and for people who are comparing, that's right, 220,000 tons for this Project Genesis ship. The Freedom of the Seas, when it comes out this summer, will be 158,000 tons, and Queen Mary is a mere tiny 150,000 tons by comparison.
Just amazing.
So something that's 40% larger than anything else out there that's floating around. So
now,
it's over $1 billion this ship will cost, which is just incredible.
Now, while you mentioned the Queen Mary and Queen Mary II, actually, there's a royal rendezvous that's coming up.
Yeah, there certainly is. This will be kind of fun, is that the date was changed. The date's been shifted around a little bit. Don't know why. But
it was going to be, what, February 23rd?
Well, the 22nd is what it was going to be.
Okay.
Was originally announced, and now they have it a day later on the 23rd. But that's
right.
So in Long Beach, California, the Queen Mary, which is the original Cunard flagship, which has been long since retired, made a hotel and meeting facility in Long Beach, California. So the Queen Mary is not going anywhere, to be clear.
Well, I would think, if nothing else, it's stuck in coffee grounds.
Yeah, that's right. You're exactly right. But the Queen Mary II will be coming in to meet the Queen Mary on February 23rd. So they'll unite in Long Beach Harbor at noontime. The Queen Mary sailed from the 30s through the 60s. So, and she was the Grand Dame of the time. And in fact, just as kind of a continuity thing, I thought it was a nice touch when the Queen Mary II was built, they took one of the ship's whistles off of the Queen Mary in Long Beach, and it is now on the Queen Mary II.
Right. What I thought was amazing about that, this tone, which is a deep bass A note, can be heard for up to 10 miles, they say.
And heaven help you if you're sitting under it napping and they decide to sound the horn.
that's true.
I'm not sure there are some seagulls that aren't too happy with that horn.
Now, what's interesting, though longer, and it's taller, nearly twice as large as the Queen Mary II... is What, it's only how many feet is it? It's 113 feet longer than the Queen Mary, but of course they built more decks on it, so.
That's right. No, the Queen Mary and all those classic Cunard ocean liners were very, very large ships. You know, people forget. I mean, remember the old Norway, which was the former USS France. That
right.
Norway was the world's largest ship for at least 10 years.
That's exactly right.
Until, what was it, the 70s or 80s, I think. So, yeah, these ships that were built originally as ocean liners are just very, very long.
I've been on the Queen Mary when it was, at some point I'll tell you some funny stories, when it was Bill Fergese and Alfred Bloomingdale that had originally purchased the ship, and they did a transatlantic cruise down through. They came down through the Caribbean because they were going to go through the Panama Canal.
Sure.
And they were anchored in Acapulco or someplace or where it was really hot. And of course, that ship had no air conditioning in those days. And of course, they're throwing parties for celebrities. And I heard Alfred Bloomingdale's wife say, "Well, why can't we just pull it up to the dock?" This may have been St. Thomas, actually. And he said, "Well, it's the biggest ship in the world. It doesn't fit. You can't get it up to the dock. So you're going to have to bring your guests in their tuxedos out in the small boats." But it's a beautiful and very elegant ship. It's really worth a visit if one is in the Long Beach area. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know, when I don't get to Southern California too often, but it's definitely on my agenda thing too. Perhaps I visit Princess's headquarters in L.A.
Right. Now, Galapagos, let's go to that. They've gotten all kinds of trouble over these, over some of the crew members.
Yeah, I mean, Celebrity Cruises, which has a wonderful product on a small ship called the Expedition, which many people probably haven't even heard of. Celebrity decided to go off the beaten track and get a small ship called the Expedition and sail around the Galapagos Islands, which is a really unique experience. It's wonderful. You know, the whole celebrity experience on this little vessel. But three crew members were caught, this is last year in October, were caught fishing in Galapagos National Park. Now, Galapagos' claim to fame is its incredible diversity of flora, fauna, wildlife, fish, game, the whole nine yards. And any kind of hunting or fishing is just strictly, strictly forbidden. So these guys were caught, and, you know, I don't know. A celebrity, of course, has fired them. They're gone from the cruise line. It's, you know, directly against Celebrity's own policy, so it's not really the cruise line was sanctioning this, but nonetheless, the Galapagos National Park people are planning to ban Celebrity's ship for 60 days from the park.
Amazing.
Which would really be kind of a showstopper for that particular itinerary to some degree. And Celebrity is appealing the 60-day ban, and you know, there's no word. You know, we'll see over the next couple of months, I imagine, whether they really do it or whether they come to some kind of compromise, which I think is probably more likely.
We just have a few moments left, and having been up in Quebec, they were very excited that the Queen Mary II had been in their port. And I just am wondering, could this maybe be an alternative to some of the Alaska cruises? Because, you know, once the ship gets up to Quebec, it can't go any further, can't get onto that bridge, so it's got to go back the other way.
Well, yeah, that's right. I guess there are a couple of ships that make it to Montreal. It's a little bit further.
Right.
So yeah, that's the most distant point you can get to on a large cruise ship, or a relatively large cruise ship, is from Montreal to Boston or New York and vice versa.
And Quebec, yeah.
Yep, and Quebec, that's right. But it is definitely an alternative to Alaska. I really agree with that. Then there are, you know, those of us who live in the Northeast kind of take it for granted, like vacationing in our own backyard.
Well, it was interesting to find that there are cruises. Princess has one that it looks like that goes, they show it starting in Quebec City, I guess, to Fort Lauderdale via New York. I suppose you can do it in the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they're getting creative now with these itineraries. So although a lot of the cruises are New York or Boston to Montreal or Quebec and vice versa, there are those that go further up and down the East Coast for people who want a longer experience and to see more things. It's a great way to see the East Coast. It's a great thing to do. You know, there's some overlap here with foliage season. The later cruises are the beginning of foliage season, so you can stop and see some fall foliage in New England while you're there. But sailing into the St. Lawrence River is people really, really enjoy it. It's a good itinerary, and there are a lot of options there now.
Exactly. They have one from New York that goes to Montreal as well, with stops in Quebec. I wanted to chat a little bit more about this, but we've run out of time, and we've got to run. Evan, great chatting with you, and look forward to chatting with you next week.
Thank you, Roy. Have a great show.
Thanks. Bye for now.
All right. Bye.
Evan Eggers, O2Cruise.com. We got to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by John Berendt, author of Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, will join us and chat about his latest novel, The City of Falling Angels. So stay with us.